Good morning, Church of Glenshaw.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good.
There are four Gospels that witness God's birth, or Jesus' birth, and his life. Only two of them really detail his birth, Matthew and Luke. And only in Luke is there a description of the shepherds being visited. Now, Luke was a physician, and he wrote his gospel for the sophisticated. And it seems like an odd positioning of a very sophisticated man, a doctor, writing about lowly shepherds. But there's one truth in the Bible, that God seems to favor shepherds, people who take care of others. For even in Genesis, Abel was a herdsman. Moses and David were herdsmen. And David himself, in his Psalm 23, called God a herdsman, a shepherd. And God himself declared that he was a shepherd in Ezekiel. So is there a special place in God's heart for those people who take care of and look out for and share the gospel with others? Listen to our scripture reading. If I can get the page. It's Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out on the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all of the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go down to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. I was told that we were to try to be out of worship by 11:30. I'll do the best I can. But I don't believe in Reader's Digest sermons. You're probably looking at that sermon title, and if you were blessed as I was to have 2 years of high school Latin, you may be able to figure it out. Ad nauseam or ad gloria Dei. Well, if you take the M off of there, we see nausea, right? So to sickness, to upchucking, and all those things, or to gloria, to the glory, and Dei is the possessive of Deo. In other words, to the glory of God is what this is. And we sometimes sing Gloria in Excelsis, and it should be a hard C, not Excelsis, but Excelsis. Sorry, choir. Anyway, but, it's God's glory in the highest, the utmost, the highest. However, Christmas gets to be a rush, doesn't it? And I found a little book, and it has some wonderful little poems, kind of tongue-in-cheek. And This is called Post Haste. I'm shipping my presents by Super Express. They should be delivered in 2 days or less. It's not that I dawdled, I want you to know. I got in this line over 3 weeks ago. Sound familiar? How about MAME that tune? There's a song that they never stop playing, a side split and knee slapping zinger about a reindeer that ran over grandma. I wish he'd aim for the singer. it's there. And this one's shopping. I think they wrote this for my wife Becky and for me. Shopping. For Christmas this year, I went shopping online. The presents were perfect. The prices were fine. In fact, my delight with the gifts that I bought may almost make up for the virus I caught. I don't think they're talking about the flu. And then the last one, it's entitled Ad Nauseam. Christmas ads on my TV set. They're coming fast and furious, and they're not stopping yet. My brain is overloaded and my patience sorely taxed. Those ad guys won't be happy till my credit cards are maxed. You get the image. There are people, Christmas becomes a trial. It becomes something that makes us sick. How do we avoid that? How do we avoid the ad nauseum, and how do we rejoice and celebrate? And I'm so glad to see other people like red in the congregation here. Red's one of the seasons of Christmas, not just for old St. Nicholas, but just for joy. And what's the one bird that stands out against the snow more than any other? The cardinal, right? Against the beautiful white snow, the red cardinal. But how do we keep that joy? How do we keep the presence of Christ, the presence of God Almighty, when we've got to go to 20 different parties, bake 15 different baked goods for different sales and to take to those parties, and we've got blended families now where we have 8 grandparents and the kids have to go to all the grandparents' houses, right? And we all would love a white Christmas, but the roads have to be clear, don't they? Right? In the story of the Nativity, the story of the angels and the shepherds, we learn how to avoid ad nauseam, the illness of Christmas, and find our peace, our hope, our joy. We read from Isaiah and gave all the wonderful titles of Christ from the Old Testament, and that last one was Prince of Peace. And this morning, let's think about peace, not that's been bought with a gun or a bomber or whatever, although we need to support our troops, and as long as we live in a fallen world, we're going to need the military because they're going to be evil people, and they need stop. But how do we find the peace within ourselves? When we're baking that special dessert everybody loves, and instead of rising up nice and beautiful, it caves in. Or we spent 3 weeks making a beautiful item of clothing for a loved one, and they try it on, and it's 2 sizes too small. Or how do we handle the sorrow when a loved one calls and gives us bad news, whatever it is. Or the doctor gives us bad news at Christmas. Listen just to these 2 verses. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Both the angels and the shepherds glorified God. And that doesn't mean that they got up and down, jumped and shouted and danced all around, that they ran up to people and grabbed them by their coat lapels and said, "Are you saved?" But they had heard joyous things. They knew joyous things. And someone might say, well, okay, you know, you're a preacher. You're paid to say these things. Well, yes, preachers are by scriptural command, supported by the congregation. And you might look at us like the angels. What else can we do? Angels give glory to God. Preachers give glory to God. But the thing is, the angels and the preachers are kind of like the pep team, the cheerleaders, or the prompter in that little booth at the foot of the stage to help the players remember their lines. But I got news for you. I'm no angel. I keep telling Becky there's something that holds my halo up. But anyway. But no, I'm one of the shepherds. I've taken care of sheep and horses and goats and cats and dogs and heaven knows what else, all sorts of critters. A little bit like the Old Testament prophet. He said, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. In other words, I'm not a seminary student. But I'm a pruner of sycamore fig trees and I follow the flocks. Brothers and sisters, I want you to think about the shepherds, not in our usual Christmas venue of gathered around the manger. The shepherds were needed for the temple worship in Jerusalem. But did you know that unless they went through a month-long purification, they could not themselves enter the temple? Shepherds were unclean. Huh? The sheep can go in. The shepherds were busy with the job of birthing the lambs, of tending the wounded sheep, of healing the diseased ones, and in doing that, they got blood on them. And that made you unclean by Jewish law to have blood on you. Now, true, the priest could spill it in the temple as an offering, but for the common rank and file people, being involved with birth and disease and illness and death and blood made you unclean. So here are these shepherds, dutifully bringing the best of their flocks to the sheep gate near the pool of Bethsaida, where the blind man was, or the palsied man was healed by Christ, and where the blind man was told to go and wash. But they can't go into the temple unless they take a month's vacation. And who's going to watch the sheep during that month? The sheep were their investment, their stock portfolio, their bank, as you will. And these angels come, and heaven's filled with the angels praising God and giving glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men with whom God is well pleased. So what do these shepherds do? They say, oh, tell you what, half of us are going to stay here and watch the sheep, and the other half are going to go see what went on. They left behind their stock portfolio, their bank investments, and they went straight away to Bethlehem. And they found joy, and they found peace, and they found the glory of God, and they went back telling everyone what they had seen. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. What would happen to our world if every one of us here this morning, young and old, rich and poor, wise and not so wise, were to say, you know, we've seen Christ. We have Christ within us, and we're going to go out and tell all the wonderful things he's done for us. People are going to be amazed. And if you do that this week and the next week and the following, you'll have to add on to the building. Are we glorifying God, or are we running around like a chicken with its head cut off? Or like Chicken Little saying, the sky's falling, the sky's falling, the cake fell. The present didn't come in. It's backordered. It'll be here in 6 weeks. Are we going to run around in that mess? Or are we going to seek the glory of God, ad gloria Dei? Are we going to go to sickness, ad nauseam? Or are we going to the glory of God? Brothers and sisters, it's going to make a big difference in your Christmas, and mine, and all of our Christmas. Let's give up the Christmas rush. Let's go tell the world what we've received. The only blessed Son of God, Jesus Christ, born a babe in Bethlehem, crucified a king on a hill outside of Jerusalem, resurrected, ascended, and I pray indeed soon he's coming again. Let's go tell the world about that. Let's tell the world about the glory of God, and let's forget about the other things. And then we'll have peace this Christmas and every day that we live. Let us pray. Lord God, we're like children who get lost in the lights and the excitement, and maybe we let go of mom and dad's hand. Let us hold tight to you, Father God. Let us hold tight to the church, our mother, and walk us through this holy season. Slow us down. Take away the distractions. Let us see your glory in this babe born in a manger at Bethlehem. And then let us be filled with wonder, and let us glorify you as we should, for that is our chief end, our prime directive, is to glorify you and enjoy you forever. Let us do that this Christmas and every day. Every moment that our heart beats, with every thought of our mind, with every devotion of our soul. Let us live in your glory, Lord God. And in doing so, we will find our peace. We praise you and we thank you now in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.